Welcome to another...
The official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
Do you hear that, Earth? The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! You're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one source for news, theories, discussion and interviews with people from the Potter books and films. I know a small amount myself, having written the books. My name is J.K. Rowling. I am now happy to introduce your hosts, Melissa, John, and Sue.
Okay, welcome everybody to Pottercast number 189. 11 shows from our 200th
That's
birthday.
That's weird.
It is. It's crazy.
It's weird. It's like we're like the United States of America having their bicentennial, Pottercast.
Yeah, what are you going to do for... We should all wear powdered wigs and put ourselves on faces of corn.
And galleons and...
For our bicentennial. Bicentennial. God, I can't believe it. Anyway, I'm Melissa. I'm here with, again, this week with John Frack and Sue.
Howdy.
And we're in for another fabulous week of Potter news, theories, discussion, and all that other good stuff.
Correct? Yay.
All are back.
Absolutely.
Into our 200th week, and we don't look a day over 189. Okay, Suze, what's happening in the news this week?
This is kind of cool. A few weeks ago, we had heard that they were probably not going to do a Lego Harry Potter game, and yet we found out from a graphic artist put up her resume online, and yes, in fact, they are working secretly away at the little elves are creating a Lego Harry Potter game. Yay! I'm excited, actually.
I mean, it's crazy that, like, it's so clever that you found it that way by someone's resume posting.
It's amazing how the news snakes its way out.
It is.
And I'm excited. I like Harry Potter and Legos.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with Legos. I'm not fond of Harry Potter so much, but I buy anything Lego, so.
All right, John. Moving on. No, it's cool. Those Lego games have been really good.
Yeah. Are we talking about the video game Legos or the actual Legos?
The video game Legos.
Video game.
Actual Legos have been around forever.
Yeah. I thought they weren't making any more of the Lego sets, though.
They aren't.
They aren't.
No.
They grew out of that.
No, but
They're around, though. eBay.
Yeah. But.
Oh, for sure, but not on the new movies.
Oh, no.
I just like my Lego basilisk I have.
Yeah.
I forgot what I made Lego that was. Maybe it was the Dueling Club.
Yeah.
Or something that I made, that I put together on Lego. Oh, it was so fun.
Someone should make, like, a Lego set, like a stop frame animation with the Legos.
With the Legos. My God. Tell Ryan.
I know, Ryan. Get on that. You got the characters already made for it. You can make Hagrid wrestle the basilisk. It'd be awesome.
Do you know they temporarily took down one of his videos?
I heard the first one was down for a while. What happened?
I think it might have been the music.
Because
he was using the... I don't know. We have to ask him, but it's back up. It's just he lost all his views and comments and stuff.
Darn it.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do with all that?
What you gonna do? That's just gonna do.
That song's so horrible, but it's so funny.
All right, Legos. Go.
Yes. So Legos are really, they've been talking about this for a long time, and if this actually comes to fruition, I think it will be a big, big actual hit. But, it's...
Sure.
No, I don't know. Funny how it goes away and comes back up, and then you find out from the worker is who it is. So it's kind of amusing.
What's going to be funny is that it's going to sell more than the actual Harry Potter video games.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be EA. I mean, I don't know.
Video games
are
amazing, though.
They are amazing, but they're crafted.
These Lego things, to be honest.
They're crafted amazingly, but they haven't had the widespread commercial success that their crafting maybe implies they would. Is that?
Yeah. I've never really liked these Lego video games, to be honest.
Why, they're fun.
They are fun. And the Star Wars one was really actually a pretty good seller, but I think that might have been an anomaly because it was like the whole, series of the whole movie. So.
Yeah, because I never played them, but that's what I liked, the fact it was the whole series. So I would hope that the Lego Harry Potter stuff would be from book one to book seven. That'd be awesome.
Well, you know who else likes video games?
Who?
Matt Lewis.
Matt Lewis?
And if... Yes,
oh,
Matt Lewis.
Oh, God, Matt Lewis.
And if you know why we're talking about how we know he likes video games, why we follow him on Twitter.
What?
Yes, we do.
Matt Lewis has been, like, the most entertaining actor from the Harry Potter series of the week.
Yes, he has. He's wonderful.
His Twitter, what is it, Sue? Matt Dave Lewis is his Twitter?
Yes.
He's having a competition with his friend.
Yes.
His friend's name is Cuzzy, and they're having a competition, and the first stage of it is how many how many followers can you get on Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
And then they have YouTube channels, and they're totally trash-talking each other on their YouTube channels. It's so funny.
Absolutely.
Well, I missed that on all of those.
Oh, yeah. Dude. It's hysterical.
The YouTube video that Matt first put up was talking about his friend Cuzzy and how you should hate him because he, you know, he punched a dolphin in the nose and he
hates women, right? Women's rights and just all this crazy
women.
Stuff.
he wrote to Gordon Brown telling them to take back all the funding for education in the country. Like just total like intelligent trash talking. It's hilarious.
Right.
Nerd trash talking is what it is.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, it's really funny because it's all counter to what, his friend, his roommate, you know, does actually. And it's really, really clever. And I guess his roommate or his friend is like going into graphic arts and stuff. So he's really getting a good following, which is really cool. And he has some really great graphics and stuff. But it's just so funny to see Matt and his friend doing this. I mean, it's just like real, like you and I would be doing, you know, stuff to see him like that.
It's awesome.
It's wonderful.
He's always been a genuinely funny kid. He's always been just like quick on his feet. Funny. If you remember a long time ago at the Prisoner of Azkaban DVD thing, we did an interview with him and Alfie Enoch, who plays Dean Thomas, and I still to this day, it is one of the best interviews we've ever done because they spent the whole time just like trash talking each other and being hilarious at each other. And it's so cool that with YouTube and Twitter and the things that we have now that allow us to interact with people who we admire without having to endanger their privacy,
right.
I find it great. I think it's amusing. I'm glad he's engaging.
Yeah. Now, wasn't he on Pottercast a while ago?
Yeah.
You should have him come back now that I'm
on. I miss him. Doodle.
I haven't got an interview with anybody fun yet.
Oh, burn on every other person.
I know. Ryan, the vlog brothers.
Oh, God. No, dang. What?
No, I meant
watch
not
out.
On movie-related crap.
I
shut my foot down my throat because we had interviewed a lot of
people. Oh.
I'm going to shut up now.
Gosh.
I hope you guys follow the podcast Twitter, by the way.
Yes.
I follow the podcast Twitter because I sometimes post on it now.
Do you?
Do you?
I do.
Uh-oh, that's kind of alarming.
That. I've only done it once to say, hey, the show is on its way. It should be up Tuesday night. And then the show came up on Thursday.
So you would call your podcast Twittering an abysmal failure, not
abysmal.
Nice.
That's the idea, though, is that people are like, we want more updates on the show. So I'm going to actually, I should get my phone right now and say, here, we're recording the show. And the other one is in the editing right now.
Well, how about we redo the podcast, maybe the podcast page so that it has our Twitter updates in a prominent spot, and then
howdy doody time. I did that on Sunday and put it up, and I guess nobody saw it.
Aww,
you didn't
podcast,
put it up anywhere.
A new
on podcast
design and my creative temporary folder.
Well, you know what happens when you put things up and you don't tell anybody you put things up? We
I
record
guess.
Podcast and we don't know that you've already done it.
Yeah.
And then a tree falls and no one heard it.
Exactly. I'm going to look at it right now. Anyway.
All right.
What else is up, Suze?
We have some good news about filming for Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. The folks that live in South Pembrokeshire, Wales, have alerted the media and the tourism board is all excited that they're going to be filming scenes from Shell Cottage there. In early summer, they're going to be filming in the Pembrokeshire part of Wales. But it's really beautiful. We have links to it on our website. But it just looks like gorgeous. But they're filming Shell Cottage. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited about that. Oh, then,
yeah.
Oh, no, Dobby's dead.
Do you know who else lives in Wales?
Who else is in Wales, John?
Pinocchio.
Stupid John.
Did you say that? Did you really?
You've been waiting.
I've been waiting for at least 25 seconds.
So,
no, John is lying about this layout he put. It's not. I'm looking in your special creative folder. It's not.
Pottercast.com. He's not even loading.
This is just a free comedy of errors today.
A comedy of something.
Yeah.
I'm going to kick the server. Give it a kick. Oh, there's bees out here. This is scary.
Why are you recording outside?
Because I decided after 188 episodes in my underwear in my bedroom, I wanted to record outside near the bees.
Oh, do you remember the early, early podcast where you did talk about recording in your underwear and that used to be a funny joke with podcasting, but now it's just this natural status of things?
Now it's just, you know, everybody does it. Now Frankie's in his underwear.
Oh.
Aren't you, Doodle?
I am.
Okay.
I
Doodles in his Spider-Man underwear.
We're going to move on from underwear. Speaking of Dobby, guess what?
Yeah.
Toby Jones, who provides the voice of Dobby, kind of gave a clue. Said he's going to his
big
part
one.
Is in both the Deathly Hallows films.
Oh!
Hey!
Yep.
Rock
so let's
solid.
Think about what this means. This means they are not breaking the film at Malfoy Manor.
Mm-hmm.
It means that Dobby, or maybe
they, have
maybe
to break
they
it.
Are.
Before Malfoy Manor or during, because
well,
the last
we
time we
know.
See Dobby say anything is right when they apparate, and he's all, eh.
Right, it could be during. It could be right when the knife goes into his chest.
So his line for the other movies, he's like,
yes. No, I guess it has to be before. My money's still on Silver Dove.
No, you guys, this means nothing. They could easily just make Dobby come back in the forest when he turns the ring around.
No, John,
no.
They would
Obi-Wan
never, they would
never
change
never
something
Yoda.
As important as...
That's right, they're all doomed to hell.
No,
John.
They would, those people are there for a reason. They would never add Dobby to that. That'd be crazy.
Why not?
Because
for
J.K. Rowling...
If they added, you know, a little kid to the D.A., and, you know...
No, they couldn't. No, they could not. Maybe there might be, like, a visual of other people that Harry has lost, like, far off in the distance, but they would not... The people that were chosen, the four people that were chosen for a very specific reason, and there is no way they would stick in a fifth, Dobby... There's no way.
Oh, the fact that we're still talking about this is awesome. No, I heard that it was just going to be a little payback because Matt Lewis, Neville took Dobby's gillyweed bit that Dobby was going to get to kill the snake.
Stop. That was a joke that went halfway and then veered off course and love it. Didn't end up anywhere.
Spent plus tell more Dobby jokes rest of the episode.
You do more Dobby jokes.
That's the show's title this week is Dobby jokes.
Love Dobby. You know who else is coming back? And
oh my god! 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 Oh my god!
But this is like kind of cool. It's more because we really didn't have any confirmation before. But John Hurt as Mr. Ollivander is in negotiations.
Yeah, I'm so excited about that.
Yes.
He's such Woo-hoo. A great Ollivander.
Awesome.
Wow.
As far as Ollivanders go.
Yeah, I mean, like, how much did we know about how great an Ollivander,
I mean,
like, you know, what
hindsight,
acting turn?
Now that we know him from
okay,
the book,
yes.
I like him. Because Ollivander was kind of a little bit of a jerk, but not horrible.
I don't know. I was in the West End last summer, and I saw Ian McKellen play Ollivander, and he did an exquisite job, to be honest.
Yeah, but he's so brilliant as Gandalf, you know. I mean, he's forever as Gandalf. He will never.
Yeah, he would never
Why
be.
Why would he play Ollivander?
Are you being... John. John. Everybody all together now. John.
John.
Not for real. Okay, can we move on?
I think that was it. That was pretty good, although...
That's it. That's number one.
That's great.
Can I just say this, though? Just stay tuned to Leaky. I think there's more cool casting news coming. Just saying.
Sue's got the scoop. Sue's got the casting scoop.
Yep.
Casting scoop? Who's left to cast? We're done with casting.
No, we're not.
No, we're not. Never done.
Who could possibly be left?
Oh, you would be surprised.
Do we know who Charity Burbidge is?
Oh.
No. Well, yeah, we don't know who Charity is. That's a good thing.
I actually heard a rumor.
Yeah?
I heard a rumor that they were offering the part to Stephanie Myers.
That's so ridiculous.
That would be awesome.
I just saw that film, and I gotta tell you, the here's your veggie thing, Stephanie. I rarely laughed so hard as I have when I saw that.
It's a vegetarian plate. Yeah, your carbon footprint is so small, Stephanie.
No, it's a vegetarian joke because of the vampires.
Nah, and she is a vegetarian.
Is she? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not up on the Twilight gossip the way you would be.
And her eyes are blue.
Okay.
And her favorite trees are pine.
Oh, I think we should go.
I think it's time to move on to the rest of the show.
Bye.
Are you smarter than our John? No, we test your knowledge and be on a showy. Knowledge, knowledge, never on the air. Are you really as smart as you claim? Are you smarter than our John? No, we. If you think so, you'll be on a showy. J.K. Rowling's given all the clues. Now are you smarter than our Big J?
Okay, bring in the first victim, shall we?
Hey, is this Albus?
It's him, yes.
Hello, oh my god, that's so cool.
Is that your real accent? How are...
Yeah, I'm honestly British.
She's not even joking.
That's awesome. I'm sorry, I felt so stupid asking it, but I had to. Because it's like, are you in character?
You guys are fine. Do you play Albus the acting troupe?
Well, everybody in the chat loves you. Are you sitting in the chat,
too? I've been loving the acting troupe. I'm such a big fan.
Do you see the Skype? Everybody's, like, freaking out that you're on.
I know. It's so weird.
It's weird because I listen to you on the acting troupe, and I'm like, hey, I'm talking to Albus Severus.
Albus, I'm geeking out because I'm talking to you guys.
It's like I'm talking to
you. To Wagamama. And I was pestering John about why you hadn't cast the acting troupe. About 2 weeks later, I got the email. And it's so much fun.
Well, I'm so glad
a little pestering time.
So
time.
Cool.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, I guess you're not out to prove yourself on something else entirely now.
I know. I'm really scared I'm going to do really badly.
Well, me too. Especially because we can thank senior staffer Nick Ryan for coming up with the questions for Are You Smarter Than John Noe this week. And he is pretty smart.
But is he smarter than John Noe?
Is he? Is
That's
he
the question.
More clever?
All right.
That's
well,
the
then
name
here
of the
is
game.
The first question,
literally.
Albus. Our question for Albus and John. Is
Albus.
We're just gonna call you Albus forever, by the way.
What's
I'll call you Albus forevermore. I'm actually a girl.
I know. What's your real name? Elizabeth? Lizzie?
Izzy.
Izzy.
Short for Isabella.
Isabella.
That's right.
Okay.
One of my names is Alfred. So I feel you. Okay. What is the name? You guys ready?
So I have to type it when I know it, and then
John has to type it.
And
Izzy has to answer it.
Yeah.
When you can answer it. Ready?
Okay.
What is the name of the Care of Magical Creatures professor at Hogwarts before Hagrid?
Oh, God, I've really done this before.
Answer.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Before Hagrid?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to count you, too.
Oh, it's the dude that's trying to... He was mentioned in Beetle the Bard,
right.
too. Darn it.
So you decide when it's done, because I got no clues.
I can't even guess. I remember hearing about it so many times. The guy tried to spend time with his remaining limbs.
Yes. Okay, Izzy.
I don't know either.
Oh, no!
I can tell you. I know, I'm not smarter than John Noe. I'm equally as bad.
You're equally as brilliant.
I know he wanted to spend time with his remaining limbs. I know he tried to bring pantomime to Hogwarts.
Does it start with a K?
Yeah, we have a problem doing this live, guys, because people in the chat will start answering.
I'm not reading the chat.
But I had to sign out of the chat because I had about a 3-minute delay and couldn't hear you guys.
Oh, no.
So I'm not cheating, and I don't know the answer.
Does it start with a K?
Kettleborn or something?
That's what I thought. Kettleborn, Kettleburg?
Kettleburn.
That sounds possible.
Kettleburn?
Kettleburn.
Oh, see, I would have known that had I not got the K clue.
Well done, Rafe. Bullfrax.
Okay.
Like
Izzy, should we give you one more shot?
Yes.
Because you're acting troupe. Okay.
Sorry. I'm like, yes!
You guys ready? And people in the chat, be good. What is the first name of Katie Bell's friend who witnesses the attack on Katie during Harry's sixth year? Oh, my God, this is hard.
Oh, wow. That's
Katie Bell's friend
I would never
who
know
witnesses
this.
The attack on Katie Bell?
I actually did know this.
You did know this, too?
Yes.
Though?
Is she
and I can't
give you
line.
Any clue. No.
Is she an Hufflepuff? That's why she knows.
But this scene in particular, should I give a hint? The scene in particular, we saw them filming behind the scenes at Featurette. Just saying.
All right, I got this one.
I think I know. I'm really crossing my fingers and toes.
John, 10 seconds. Did you type it?
I typed it.
He's so right.
Answer, everyone!
John.
Can we say it? Or
and I think I know the answer.
All right, what's your answer,
John?
Izzy?
Can I
what's
try? It's really
yeah.
No, I'm embarrassed.
Go ahead.
I think
go ahead.
It's Leanne.
Yes.
You're right! Oh my gosh! Izzy, you so are smarter
than
John.
That is way smarter than John Noe.
John's answer is Winky the Drunk Elf.
It could have been Winky the Drunk Elf.
Izzy, what house are you?
I'm Ravenclaw.
I can tell.
Yeah, certainly are. Izzy, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's great to speak to you guys.
Well
done.
We'll
see you on the next one.
See you next episode. We're excited. We're loving it.
That's good.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, we've just finished recording episode 4, so.
Excellent.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
I love it.
Awesome.
Thank you, Izzy.
Bye.
I still want a guest star as a random voice.
Who would be a good voice for Frankie to guest star?
I could be Miss Norris. I don't care. I'll meow. I'm like, meow.
You totally should be. Oh my God.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
He's like, meow. That's amazing.
All right. Well, let's draft the next person.
Do it.
The first person I see in the chat, I'm just going to grab a name. I hope whoever's putting your Skype names in the chat has their microphone and everything plugged in, the headphones plugged in, and all that fancy stuff.
And remember to turn off their feed.
Yeah. All right, giving it a shot here.
I love the Noe game.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, Jeannie Rose.
Hi, John.
Are you smarter than me?
Definitely.
Okay. No. Well, we solved it. She wins. Guys, I'll give her 50 points. What's your house?
We solved it. She wins. Okay.
Oh, a Hufflepuff. Oh, well, then we should probably play the game then, just in case.
The next one's so easy. Okay. You guys ready?
Yep.
Which frequent rider of the night bus seems to get queasy easily?
Can I have that again, please?
Which frequent rider of the night bus seems to get queasy easily?
Queasy easily. How is this an easy one? You're crazy.
It was a running gag.
And there's not many frequent riders on iBus that we know of.
No, other than the employees.
Not the stupid shrunken head, I'll give you that.
I was going to go with the stupid shrunken head. Annoying, obnoxious, shrunken
it's
head.
Not the stupid shrunken head. Come on, John, you got a couple seconds.
All right.
We need a combination. Someone needs to make us a combination of Jeopardy, but in the Hedwig's theme, like...
That's awesome.
Can't do it right, because that makes a weird noise and it hurts my nose.
John, you're not trying at all.
How am I going to know it?
Oh, my God. You're
making things up.
All right. He's answered. He's given his answer. All right, Ginny.
What's your answer?
Ginny from the block.
Oh, it's just right there and I can't think... Madam... Oh, that's not it.
You're on a great
Madam... Oh, no! Madam Pomfrey, I think.
No! Well, you got half there, and John didn't. You said Madam Pomfrey. The answer is Madam Marsh. And John said Alfonso Cuarón.
It could have been.
Could have been.
I wouldn't have got that right.
No, it couldn't have been. At all.
Oh.
Okay. Well, thank you. Let's do one more, guys.
Okay.
I love that someone suggests we have our... Bye, Jenny. Go Hufflepuff.
Bye.
Bye, Jenny.
Someone said that we should use the McFlurry guy. Should be our... The little McFlurry voice.
Oh, the owl?
Hey!
The owl.
Hey!
Oh, my God.
I want a McFlurry! Give me a McFlurry!
Are we smarter than the owl? That'd be funny. Yeah, like...
Oh my God, we should call the owl instead
and
of having him call up all the time.
Have him ask if he's smarter than John.
Call us at 3 o'clock in the morning.
That'd be so funny.
All right, I see somebody in here that's caught my eye. It's a lady.
It's a lady.
It's a lady.
Hello?
Hello?
Katie.
Hello.
Katie. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Can you hear us?
Yes.
Katie.
Hi.
Okay, good.
Katie, can you go ahead and hit mute on your Ustream so we don't hear it over and over again?
Done it. Sorry.
It's okay.
Katie.
Shut up,
you?
Frankie. Katie.
The next password's going to be Katie.
Can we just call this episode Katie?
Katie.
Sorry.
Oh, come on.
All right.
You ready?
Let's stump Katie and me.
All right, Katie.
Hi, Katie.
I'm going to ask you a question. John?
Okay.
I'm going to ask a question. John has to type the answer, then you'll have to answer the answer. Get it? See what I mean? Okay, ready?
Okay.
Why are you still laughing, Brad?
I don't know. I'll mute it.
Katie.
Okay, you guys ready?
Yep.
Yep.
Which was the only class in which Hermione did not get an outstanding OWL?
I know.
Oh. All right, don't say it.
Don't say it yet.
Okay, I think I know this.
I'm facing like a million miles an hour.
Yeah.
That's okay. He's going to come up with some goofball. I don't know. I know this, but he might know this.
Happy birthday, Sue.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Katie.
John's forgetting.
Is that your final answer?
John's forgetting his basic.
John Noe's final answer is in. Okay, Katie.
I think so.
Yeah? Defense against the Dark Half?
Yep.
You are correct. You are smarter than John Noe.
The Boggart got her, John, remember?
What?
She didn't take the owl for divination.
John said divination. She left the class, John. She left the class in book 3.
Yeah, she wouldn't take an owl.
Oh, nuts.
And it's the Boggart that got her.
Okay. Well, Katie, I guess you are smarter than John Noe. You
Thanks,
and all the
Katie.
Other contestants win 50 points for participating and making me embarrassed.
Katie, what house are you?
Hufflepuff.
Yeah! Woo! Way to go, girl!
Playing yellow today, just for Hufflepuff?
Excellent news. It's rocking. Very good, Katie. Right. You bring honor to our house. Well done.
Yeah, somebody's got to do it.
I'm in New Zealand.
John.
Hi, Tabitha from there.
Oh, bye.
Hufflepuff, a Kiwi Hufflepuff.
Yep.
That's awesome. Sorry for coughing. All right, bye, Katie. Get out of here. Leave us alone.
Thank
bye,
you,
Katie. Bye. Before we start to say your name again.
Frankie, you were
sorry, I don't know what was wrong got in me there. I had a little giggle fit. For some reason, the name Katie was just really funny. Because she wouldn't answer, and though I know I was doing it to be weird, and so she was like, what's going on?
What's going on? Oh, my. Very quiet. And apparently, the house is sleeping.
All right, well then let's do it. Are you ready?
My Skype keeps echoing. I don't know why.
Okay. No, I think you're better now.
Okay.
Yay.
All right. Here's a question. John is going to answer it in type for us, and then you will answer it out loud. Ready?
Yeah, just get really close to your microphone.
Okay. What two words did the necklace have on it that Lavender Brown gave Ron for Christmas in their sixth year?
Say it again?
What did the necklace that Lavender Brown gave to Ron say on it? Oh, guys, turn off the...
Are you there?
Hello?
Hello. What's your answer?
My sweetheart. My sweetheart.
Huh?
You are so much smarter than John Noe. John Noe's answer. And, oh my gosh. John Noe's answer is, you're hot.
I thought it was Wan Wan.
That would have been cute.
It's not Wan Wan. It's my sweetheart.
All right. Well, thank you, Stephanie.
Thank
you are, in fact, smarter than John Noe, and you have won your house 50 points. Yay.
Yay.
Don't be too excited.
What house are you?
Ravenclaw.
Ravenclaw.
Yay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for playing.
Sorry. Okay. One more?
Sure.
Yes.
When Frank laughs like that, there's no, I don't care what it's about. If he could be laughing about a baby dying, I will laugh.
A baby dying?
Well.
What's a baby dying?
Not that you ever will. Not that you ever would. But you could be laughing about something as unfunny as a baby dying. And if you laugh like that, I will start laughing. So if you just, gosh. Okay, go ahead.
I thought you said a baked dime. And then I heard, I'm like, what in the world is a baked dime? And why when I laugh at it? That's pretty funny. And then you said baby dying. I'm like, oh, of course not. Ay, ay, ay. My ears.
All right, I'm going to go to a good old reliable character here.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, we know
who is this?
Give us your name and what house you're in.
I'm a Ravenclaw.
Yay!
And do you need my My Leaky name?
Well, sure. However you introduce yourself to your friends.
McGiggles.
McGiggles!
McGiggles!
Hello, McGiggles!
No, my real name is Sean.
Oh, that doesn't matter. Okay. Mr. Giggles, are you smarter than me? Do we have any more questions, Sue?
No.
Well, we can make one up.
Yeah.
In book 4, who did... wait, I'm totally making this up. Hold on.
Who did Fleur go to the Yule Ball with?
That's an excellent question. Who did Fleur go to the Yule Ball with?
Is that really the question?
Yeah.
Who did Fleur go to the Yule Ball with?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I think I know this one.
All right, let me write out my answer here.
Oh, I know who it is. Brad, you don't have to make me.
Okay, because I was like, crap, I don't know.
Brad's like, well, let's look it up. I don't know the answer.
All right.
No.
John, he's cute. John, that's a woman's name.
Do you have the answer? Do we have an answer?
He has one, but it's not the... All right, so McGiggles, it's your turn. Rock on. Let's hear it.
I'm pretty sure the answer is Roger Davies.
Oh.
You are pretty correct and also pretty smarter than John Noe, who seems to think the answer is Ernie McMillan.
It could have been Ernie McMillan.
And so he spelled
it. Erin McMillan.
Erin McMillan.
To which, sister, in our I chat, guess. Frank answers, Floor is not by.
it's been a much more interesting book.
You know what? With Steelers, we don't know.
Okay.
We got a special call coming up in a second.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Giggles. You have won your house. 50 points. Congratulations.
Bye.
All right. So people in the chat are telling me who would call next.
We know who we're calling next.
People in my Skype chat are telling me, namely you three.
All right, then do it, John.
All right, calling the guests.
Hello.
Hey, who's this?
This is Hank Green.
Yay, Hank!
Oh,
Hank.
No, he's going to be way smarter than me.
Hank!
It's Pottercast! Pottercast!
Hank!
What the frick is going on?
Hank, we're playing a game. We're playing Are You Smarter Than John Noe?
Oh.
Who's that guy?
Okay.
So you're live. You're on the air, buddy.
Yeah.
There's like 3,200 people listening right now.
Yeah. Okay, well, can I just say that I am and then we can be done?
Somebody tried
that
last night. It didn't really work.
I win.
You win. It's so easy. Here's how it works. We ask a question. And then John, you don't answer yet. John types what he thinks his answer is to us so that we know. Then you try to answer it, and if you got it right and he didn't, then you are smarter than John Noe.
Okay. And then we keep going until one of us is smarter than the other?
No, just the one. We can, but we actually have two questions.
And I promise not to Google, right?
Yeah, we're listening for keyboard clicking.
All right. Are you ready?
I'm nervous. I'm scared.
The question is, at the end of book 1, there's a potions challenge. How many bottles are a part of that potions challenge?
Oh.
Don't answer yet. John has to write it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I remember reading this once.
You remember reading the book?
Great, John.
Yeah.
I remember reading the book.
How novel.
Let me think.
How novel.
I think...
Well, John, it's a number.
Okay. I have... it's one of two. I want to go with... that one.
I'm glad you're taking a long time because I've got quite an internal debate going on as well.
Yeah.
All right, well, you can start answering whenever you feel like it. So if you want to bring your internal debate out into the open...
Yeah, I just guessed.
We've got John's answer.
I typed my guess.
Oh, he's answered?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say 6.
Ooh. Mm. You were much closer than John.
Much.
Don't tell me it was 7.
John said 12.
I couldn't hear any of what just happened. What just happened? Did I lose?
It was 7. Well, you got closer.
7. I'm closer, though.
Yeah, but
we both went over, so we both don't win the showcase.
No, he didn't go over.
Oh, he went under.
He wins.
I was under.
Oh, right. Look at my math. That's embarrassing.
Yes, sometimes 6 feet higher than 2.
Oh, God.
Does that mean I'm smarter than John Nelly, or do we try again?
We have one more question for you, actually. How do you pronounce this word? A-C-C-I-O.
Well, I did not hear what you said. All those letters sound like the same except for L.
There was no L.
A-C-C-I-O.
Do it again. A-C-C-I-O.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, it's going to be quite a trick for John to type this pronunciation out.
Yeah, I don't know how it's good. John's going to have to, like, type what he thinks the pronunciation is. John?
I'm spelling.
I love John's creative spelling.
Tell me again what I'm pronouncing.
It's a spell used to summon things.
Okay, that's what I thought you said. Well, this question is unanswerable. It is unanswerable without an essay.
Well, all right. Well, what do you think it is?
Well, it depends on who you ask. It is pronounced differently in the audiobooks. It is pronounced differently in the movies, and it is pronounced differently by J.K. Rowling herself.
Which other three?
So do you want Joe's pronunciation? Because I'll just give you Joe's pronunciation, and then I win.
Yes,
I don't even know this. Sure,
do it.
Go.
Wait.
Joe pronounces it Osseo.
Hmm.
Like the robot? Like
John says
Osseo.
Well, you know all the many varied pronunciations?
Yes. In the movies, it's pronounced Accio. And also in the video games, I think it's pronounced Accio. Uh-huh. And in the audiobook, it's pronounced Axio, which is where I heard it first. Axio. Which is why my song was originally called Axio Deathly Hallows.
John thinks it's Achicho.
No, that's not what I typed.
Achicho.
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 Sounds like a Pokemon. Achicho.
I think I'm smarter than John Nelly.
Yeah,
I think
you are. Yay! Yay!
You know what's funny is that it's not even in the pronunciation guide that they have on Scholastic.
It's not?
The only thing they have in that guide is names of things. I mean, there's some spells, but it's not even in it. Isn't that sad?
I always
never know.
Thought it was Accio, like ascend, Accio. But everyone says that sounds
I say Accio because I'm Italian, and I see 2 C's, and I got to go chi.
Yes, that is technically how one would pronounce it, but...
See? Thank you, Hank, for being such a good sport.
You've won your house 50
Hank.
Points on my leaky.
I'm well worth in that particular debate.
We figured. You won Ravenclaw. You won Ravenclaw 50 points on my leaky.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Alrighty.
Enjoy your cast.
Thanks,
bye.
See ya.
Thank you for the fun.
Thank you.
Okay, and that's how we play Are You Smarter Than Me?
Oh, that's funny.
It's time for Canon Conundrums. Listen in as our panel tries to figure out one specific issue from the Harry Potter canon.
Who could possibly figure that out?
It's time for Canon Conundrums. I cannot wait to figure out what we are picking apart and picking at and figuring out this week. What is it?
What is it, Frankie? Why don't you tell us about what our...
If you love it so much.
Well, this Canon Conundrum is about what if Neville... was the boy who lived. So if, basically, in reversing Harry and Neville's role in the books, sort of. Instead of Harry being the one who didn't grow up with the parents, or, like, but with Neville being raised by his grandmother, if he would have been a different person being raised under his grandmother's scrutiny, because she gave him a hard time before as a, you know, as a youth, but when he got, you know, once he proved himself in the ministry,
well,
you know,
sure.
He got better. What, John?
I was saying, if would Gran be a little less of a B if
Neville was the man.
She's not a bee. Oh my gosh. She was in the beginning, but she comes around.
Well, she's not. No, she's not. She was just stuck up.
Yeah.
Well, because she wasn't a bee. She was just stuck up. And when Neville proved himself, she was proud of him. Now, it's sad that she didn't love him unconditionally, but she does, but just she expected so much of him with her son being an auror and all that. So I think Neville would have been a really different person.
Oh, God, yes.
Or at least under, I don't know, came to his full potential faster. I don't know. He just would have been more confident maybe, but at the same time, he would have had a really danger of being, like, extremely cocky.
Yeah.
And, like would, you know, who would have been the same person? Would they have been friends?
Yes.
Would Harry have been the same person if he would have been raised by, you know, his mom and his dad? Maybe,
exactly.
I'm thinking maybe he would have been a little
He's
more...
He's better off growing up far away from all that. But that's the thing of it. Assume that if it's Neville, we just assume that he would stay in the magical world.
It's true he's better growing up far away from that.
You know...
Why wouldn't he? He has his grandmother. Yeah.
Well, he would have, because...
They could have found magical foster relatives to take care of him if they wanted him to stay in
the
magical
world.
Otherwise the familial bond...
Yeah, the familial bond sounds like the thing, fine.
It's
but
not about magical world.
John,
we
can all toss out whatever pieces of
fact
we'd like to toss out to make our theories accurate, but...
He could have found another way to protect him.
I could say, you know, oh, Voldemort could have found a way around that final curse I feel like he could have. Like, we can all say, oh, blah, 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 blah. But the fact of the canon...
My point is
family.
That they didn't... That... Who's to say they didn't just... If it was a matter of, you know, if it was Neville and they were trying to protect him, they could have found the same setup that they had for Harry with some Muggle relative or a Muggle friend
and let him grow up. But they, in that case, would have been his grandmother. It wouldn't have been Dumbledore doing it. They is his grandmother because that is his closest of kin. It's not up to Dumbledore. It's up to his grandmother to make those decisions. Dumbledore did it because Harry's family was now non-existent.
Well, Dumbledore, I'm sure, still would have had an influence on something like that situation.
Yeah, but he would have never said, you have to get rid of him. I don't know. I think Neville absolutely would have grown up with his next living relative, which is his grandmother.
He would have, because the charm wouldn't have worked unless it was a family member. I'm sure Dumbledore maybe would have helped him with the charm, setting that up, security, but he would not have been decision.
Well, I haven't heard anything from Sue yet. What do you think, Sue?
Well, okay, I want to go back to this family thing. The reason that Harry had to go with the Dursleys because of the protection clause, right?
Well, also it's his only family. It's not like he had another relative in the Wizarding World who could have taken him in.
Yeah, he couldn't have. And then the whole point real quick, the charm is what mattered.
See, I keep going back to this whole topic has always really fascinated me. And Jo had talked about it too, and she had talked about And this was always was this, and I'm glad we're talking about this because Jo wrote on her website, if this place had been, and if Neville's parents would have hinged on whether or not Neville's parents would have been able or prepared to die for their son in the way that Lily died. And I still think that sacrifice thing is a huge issue for me. I mean, it's just so powerful. And I kind of wonder, but I want to digress too, though. I mean, what's to say that they wouldn't have died for him? I thought that they almost did when the Death Eaters came and tortured him in the canon, you know, even though it's not like described. I think
wait somebody said they wouldn't have died for him.
No, I mean, if Jo wrote what she said on her thing is the answer, Harry wonders, you know, what would have happened if Voldemort had decided that pure blood, not the half blood, was the bigger threat. And then Harry wonders it, and Jo writes that the answer hinges on whether or not would have been prepared to die in their way. And I, you know, I think that they would have, you know, so I mean,
see, I have always thought about the fact that Lily's sacrifice wasn't so much that Lily was such an extraordinary human being. It was the idea of a mother's love, and it's more of a general statement on moms. Not so much that Lily was so uniquely spectacular that she did something no other mother would.
Well, that's true. I mean, like, it's not that it's unique to her, but what's unique to her situation was the fact that she had the opportunity to be, you know, not get killed because she had choice. The other people didn't have choice. And so without that choice there, it was irrelevant, you know, like just like what happened to Harry's father, you know. And so the thing is, I don't know if Alice or Frank would have been given an opportunity, the ultimatum, like, hey, let me kill your son and then I'll let you live. He might have just, because they didn't have Snape as an advocate, you know, to protect that or to initiate that interaction. You know what I mean? Because without that charm and that choice and just the happenstance and circumstance of the situation, it wouldn't have worked out.
My only curiosity is this really the only time that's ever happened to Voldemort?
Hmm. Well, we talked about that in the 2005 interview. It's only happened to anybody in that way, like where the person doing it says, presents you with the choice.
Oh, right, because he never would have presented anybody else with that choice.
Because of Snape.
Right. You can get out of the way or not, and the person chose to stand between that person.
Okay. Wow.
So what had to happen for this is that Snape would have had to have a thing for Alice Longbottom.
No. Because think about the end of Book 7. It's not that he gave Harry a choice. It's that it was Harry's choice, knowing that he would do so to save the people behind him. It was his life or everybody else's. The choice that he makes is wholly self-sacrificial. You have to know that you're giving yourself over to attempt to save somebody else's life. And James does that, but it's not, the way Joe explains it, it's not as clear cut. It was kind of like animalistic, like I'm just protecting my family. It's not that I had time to ration this out and I refuse to stand aside even though I know it means certain death. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. When she says it, it always sounds like it makes sense, but then you know.
Well, because he had the opportunity not to die, or he willingly presented himself for death?
If Voldemort hadn't given that choice, if Voldemort hadn't said, either Harry dies or we will continue to kill you, you know, like, hand over Harry, if it wasn't that the idea of Harry's death would stop other people from dying, would it have all been the same? I don't know.
Oh, that's right, yes.
He walked into certain death. He didn't battle until the death. He walked into something knowing that the only outcome is that he will die, which is the same thing that Lily did.
No, I get it. It makes sense because it's just he didn't have the decision process. It was like he jumped, he reacted, and it wasn't even – he was just an obstacle for Voldemort to get through. And so it wasn't as nuanced, intentional.
In some way. They have to know that there's no other outcome but this, but that they will die.
Yes. That's key, though. That's just like the same with – if Lily would have, you know, gave Harry over, you know, it would have, then she would have been fine. Yeah, but they do have to make that decision to know that, like, I'm not even going to put up a struggle. I'm giving myself over to death.
You know, that's a story I would really want. I want to know what happened to the Knights of the Longbottoms. Because I believe that they knew. I still wonder if Neville was there and that they were new, but they were willing to stand up and be tortured by Bellatrix and them and as ours. And I think that they would have knowingly. I think Alice and Frank both would have knowingly, you know, sacrificed themselves. You know?
Yeah, totally. I think, but going back to what Melissa was saying, it's more like not even putting up a fight, just accepting death to, you know, to prevent, even if you think it's futile, you know, it's just taking that place of the other person. Like James put up a fight, you know. I don't know if Harry would have been the same person. Like, would he have been more James-ish than Lily-ish? Because he looked like James, but everyone said he had the eyes and the demeanor of his mother. Now, if he was not raised in such an oppressed environment, would he have been the same person-ish? Like, because being raised with, like, possible siblings and in a proper home, would he have just, you know, that those hardships wouldn't have... He wouldn't have figured out at such a young age, so he wouldn't have been so mature.
Well, I think he'd be very confident.
He'd be a little serious.
And I mean, Albus Severus and all them, as sweet kids as they no doubt are, they're known as Harry Potter, and they didn't have the boy who lived label and everything else on them. And I mean, I think Harry growing up...
they had to grow up with it.
But Harry, if Harry was in the magical world growing up those first 11 years, he would have had it the whole...
No, he wasn't. Because if he was in the magical world growing up those first 11 years, the name Harry Potter wouldn't mean Harry Potter. He would just be another kid.
Yeah, it'd be Neville Longbottom would have been the stigma.
Oh, right.
I think he would have, and I'm going to say this, is because the ultimate act of what he did against Voldemort was an internal conscious choice. And I think that was a thing that he cognizantly learned through the series of the books, and he understood his thing. But I think Neville certainly would have done the same thing. And I think, but that decision of Harry is something that I don't want to say that no one's capable of it, but not everybody would have naturally chose to do that, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's in Harry's character. Maybe I'm treading off into more psychology or something, but I just think that's inherent in his
psychological, his persona, that Harry. Yeah. And so I think he would have been, I still think he would have been kind of Lilish in that way, I guess, if we had to phrase it like that. Frankie, I don't know.
Well, I agree with you. I think more he would have learned lessons later in life.
I just think that it's dismissive of Harry's life experience and his character to just think that Neville would have done the same thing if he just had a normal life in the wizarding world with his grandma and everything else, because that's the same life any other kid has. How is it different?
I don't think he would have been normal. Why do we think he would have had a normal life? It would have been so much, he would have had to, like, deal with being the boy who lives in a situation where his grandmother wasn't shunning that kind of spotlight. And then when all this stuff came down upon him, would he have had like the internal wisdom that Harry did from not growing up caring about that stuff?
I absolutely don't think he would have.
Yeah, I worry about that too.
I think that if anything, Neville would grow up like almost jaded to the public, to the point where he's tired of everybody poking in on his life, like, you know, the Rita Skeeters and the people like that, where he's like, screw it, I'm not performing for you guys. I'm not your clown, and I don't care about you.
You know, and then it comes down to these little choices that really are the crux of why Harry is who he is. With Howells or Horcruxes, jaded, celebritized Neville might have chosen Howells to get the invisibility cloak, because he wouldn't have it, because it would still be...
You mean Horcruxes?
You know?
I don't know that I agree with that, John. I don't think that Neville would have become jaded. I really don't, because I think part of it, maybe it's because I have kind of issues with my own self-esteem, that I think if Neville had been raised in an environment, because I felt like his grandmother dominated him, and I always felt like, you know, weird things happened to him, and that he always felt like he was stupid enough along, and I have that problem myself. So I think a lot of times if he had been around a position that he had gotten a lot more people's support around him, I think he would have been better, because we saw Neville at the end. He was battered and beat and bruised, and we know that he had taken on these things that where other children were being abused when the Kauros were taking over. I think that he did that willingly and knowingly, and that's a good, brave man. I think he was equally as brave as Harry. And to say that kind of person would have just been dismissive, I just don't see that. I think that's a character choice that inside of him, and I just don't see that Neville would have been that way. I really don't.
It's a totally... different character, though, when we apply that.
The question becomes, is he the same character or not? The Neville that we know in the books absolutely would.
Yeah.
You know, if Neville himself, we could only, like, switch him and Harry in book 7, everything would have still worked out. He still would have been, I agree with you, he's just as good as Harry. The question becomes, how does Neville himself change if he's put into a life where he's the boy?
Because I think the grandmother at that point changes, too.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. He's like, I could see him being like, her being like a stage mom and just parading him around like, oh, my grandbaby is the boy who lives and la-di-da. Like, she got so excited when he broke into the ministry, didn't hear the end of that, let alone him being like the boy who lives who defeated Voldemort. I mean, it would be insane. She would just parade him around, so I could see him either like collapsing under that pressure and just being like this wilted person, or just being like John was saying, this jaded, just kind of like indifferent, riddled with apathy. Like, I'm not saying he wouldn't be the same person eventually. It would just take longer for him to become so mature, or just kind of mature into it. So whether he'd be kind of like a jaded kind of like jerk who's just cut off from the world, or someone who's just hides from the world because they can't take the pressure.
I mean, there's a bunch of variables that we can't possibly guess at. I mean, the whole story could have happened the same way had Harry not been a descendant of the Peverells. So then would Neville need to be a descendant of the Peverells? Like, there's so many factors that we can't possibly, you know, talk about, but is the question just becomes, I mean, I would see it as a darker, more bitter series, because the idea of somebody who's grown up in the public spotlight and maybe and knows he has this destiny coming kind of lends itself to a little bit more of a little bit more cynical tale than somebody who doesn't know and it still remained pure at heart about the trappings of celebrity and what it does to the people around you, you know.
Yeah, he's probably a little more forthcoming with the prophecy because he's raised in the spotlight, and he's just, you know, it wouldn't have been a big reveal, and like his grandmother would have been, he would have been more of a celebrity without like the counterbalance of responsibility, which can be dangerous. Like Harry, he was introduced to his celebrityness like later on, so he knew what it was about.
Maybe he would have gotten some proper training.
Yeah. There you go.
Would you have a proper wand, don't you?
Yeah. His grandmother wouldn't allow him to have a beat-up old wand for the boy who lives, you know?
Can I ask you this kind of random question? It's kind of a little off-topic, but we're talking about Neville. Do you think that his grandmother was so overbearing to Neville because she was so upset about what happened to her child, her own daughter, and her son-in-law?
Hmm.
I often wondered about that, you know? Or is it is her son? I'm sorry, to her son and her daughter-in-law. Yeah. No, I know I was wrong, but thank you. But that's, I mean, I wonder if that was part of her thing is that, you know, I mean, what a terrible thing, you know, that here was her child that was, by most accounts, a very gifted wizard, you know, and then she was probably too. I don't know. I just kind of wondered, you know, how that affected Neville's upbringing. So if we're talking about how Neville's upbringing would have been later on, you know, don't know.
I think she was just hard on him because she expected him to live up to the memory of her son. And when he started to disappoint in that respect, you know, in the how good am I at school respect, she just thought that pushing on him would be the answer, you know? Mistakenly, like so many parents do.
I mean, I just think she's expected a lot of him.
She's a total B.
No.
Oh, I didn't like her until book 6 or 7. I'm like, well, I actually wondered if she was evil, to be honest.
It was the hat.
Seriously. It's because she was so mean to Neville. It's like, leave Neville alone. You know?
You should make a YouTube video. Leave Neville alone.
Leave Neville
blanket
alone.
Over your head.
So, Melissa, did you answer? I mean, do you feel that Neville would have been, could have done that? I mean, I don't know. I didn't get what your answer is.
Could have done what?
If it had been the Chosen One, would he have defeated Voldemort? Do you think he would have been that?
I think he would have gotten there, but I think it would have been a very different story, like a much different tone to the entire story. But I do believe that Neville at heart, because of who his parents were and their belief in the good and the strength of character that they had, he couldn't have grown up without those values either. Like, you know, so he would have gotten there, I think, but
it would have been a different journey, yeah.
Oh, God,
he would have gotten
so
there,
different.
But it just, his lessons would have been – he's the same person, but our situation shapes us. So his situation would have been different. So if he would have been shaped differently, he would have arrived, I think, at the same destination, but just became who he is in a different way, not so fast, not so slow in certain areas. He was just, you know, thrown in there. And so now he has to kind of just – I don't know. It'd be a different situation. It's interesting.
It reminds me of stories where there's like a spoiled, I don't know that he would be spoiled, but there's like a spoiled prince who has all this power and doesn't realize he can do anything with it, and then he grows into it and becomes a real leader. Like that's
like Iron Man.
The kind of
Neville
story.
Is Iron Man.
Like
he's,
Iron Man.
You know.
A little bit. Neville is Iron Man. Oh my God.
Awesome. The occasion.
I do.
He
is.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Iron Man.
Oh my gosh. All right, so lots of discussion. Tell us what you guys thought.
Yeah, tell us.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting to think because it's so because they were just so paralleled so much and referred to in the book so much. Would they have been friends? Because because Harry wouldn't have gotten through his stuff without the three of the others.
I guess that's just looking at would they have compatible personalities for a friendship?
They pretty much became friends because Ron was looking. You know, Harry was alone and Harry and Ron had no other friends. I don't know. We can't. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Harry and Hermione would have been together.
Totally. There is a link in the show notes to discussion on this, and this is something that you guys probably really talk about a lot. So go to that link and would want to talk about a lot. Go to that link and talk about this. Tell us what you would think, or go to the Pottercast group on MyLeaky and talk about what you thought.
Sounds
what
like...
you think would happen if Neville was the boy who
lived. Yeah.
Cool.
Cool.
Yay. Bye.
It's the drums.
Woo!
Oui! Enchanté, drama. drama?
I don't know how to say drum in French.
Le drum. Drama. That's something
it sounds
more
Italian.
Hey, speaking of Italy.
Just add a vowel at the end.
I'm going to be gone for like 3 weeks, guys.
What?
Oh, no.
Yeah,
there will be no Pottercast during that time.
I'm visiting my native land.
Your native land.
That's actually really cool.
I've always wanted to go to Italy, and I'm jealous. There's so much art there, Melissa. You
have to go look at art. We're going to Florence. I can't even contain it.
You have to go to the Vatican, too, because the whole...
We are going to the Vatican, and you know what? We got a friend of my father's, of somebody, I don't know, we're going to mess with the Pope.
Oh, that's cool.
There's so much art! The Pope!
Oh, sorry. I think the Vatican City's beautiful.
It is gorgeous. And I'm going to take a lot of video and put it on the channel, but I'm warning you now, I have no way of knowing if my video will be up on Mondays or not.
Oh, you're right. Well, you know what? Actually, I'm glad you just mentioned that, because that reminds me, starting this week, we're having a new contest, Who Wants to Be Melissa Nelly for 3 weeks.
Oh.
And in that contest, you get to be her spot on Pottercast and put up Monday vlogs.
Oh, that's fine. If you don't mind me putting up one or two like vlogs on the weekend showing you Italy, and then somebody else can have my Monday spot.
I mind.
If you're interested in Melissa Nelly, you think that you are loud enough, long enough hair, and general similar temperament, you can submit your...
Is this an insult to Melissa?
Of course not, no!
Oh my gosh!
There'll be details in the thing. Post your video on YouTube telling us why you think you could be Melissa Nelly for 3 weeks.
You have to make it a response to one of the podcast vlogs.
Yes.
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 And be respectful.
I'll mention it. I'll mention it on my Know It Thursday today. It'll be something to talk about. And you can leave video responses to that.
I'm terrified.
And if you're selected, you will record with Frankie, Sue, and I for the 2 weeks she's gone. For the episodes, and you'll put up videos on Monday, but you won't have to fit it in. That's too tricky.
That's asking too much.
Yeah,
you don't have to write a book either.
No. If you want to construct a mask for yourself, and
No.
Oh my God, it'd give me nightmares. Don't. Oh my gosh.
It'd be like Vipra Vendetta with all those people running around.
Oh my God, or like Chucky.
It'd be creepy.
Whenever
it's like,
I think of masks,
over the trips to Melissa's apartment, I've been collecting enough hair to weave a... I can't even finish.
But you might... having a cat, plus.
Yeah, having an annoying cat is a huge plus.
No,
submit the videos. And, you know, it's funny, the last time we had a substitution for one of us, it was Frankie. And you know what happened to him?
Promises? We can't start with, like, promising that we're going to end up with a fifth Pottercaster. That's unfair.
You know, if we need a new Melissa every once in a while.
I'm good with us having, like a backup.
We should all have substitutions that look and sound like us.
No.
What does that even mean?
That's
creepy on so many different levels.
That is creepy.
Dude, only one of you is more than enough. Just saying. I don't
think so.
You too, Sue.
That's all.
You're not excused for
I
that.
I think Alex Carpenter would be a good substitution for me. You know, we're all pretty dreamy.
Going to Italy?
Yeah.
Melissa, what are you going to listen to on the plane? What would be something interesting you could listen to, or anyone could listen to on a plane? A book? You know what I could listen to?
Oh, right. See, you always have to remind me. I'm the worst. Oh, my God. I'm so bad at this. Sue should be my publicist, I swear. She's always the one who reminds me, Melissa, why don't you post this thing on Leaky about, like, your book? Because all the other Harry Potter fans are picking it up, and we don't have it up, and maybe you should post it. Yes, my audiobook. Like, there's an audiobook of Harry history.
That's
out. It is out. Link on Leaky, I promise, by the time this show comes up. And in last week's show, you probably heard a snippet. Sue, the Sue voice is quite good.
Oh, God, that's scary.
Wait. You mean other actors, or she just does a Sue voice?
No, she does a Sue voice.
Oh.
And in the clip that I put on HarryHistory.com and on LeakyNews.com, I picked that clip specifically so that it would have the Sue voice and the John voice and the Paul DeJong voice.
Does John go,
and
John Newey?
No. She totally gets your, like urgent cursiness, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, you're like,
Who, Frankie's urgent cursing?
No, Frankie isn't voiced in the book, unfortunately.
Doodle's waiting for a rewrite.
Doodle
don't care about doodling.
The first when we picked up a phone for Paul DeGeorge when he's on, in the opening, her pickup, like, the first thing he says is so spot on, Paul DeGeorge. It scared me.
Wow.
It was so
That's
weird.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's fun, but it's so strange, guys.
Is that clip for this week's show or for last week's show?
Last week's show, but now right, it's finally okay. On Leaky.
All right. Well, they would have already heard it.
Oh,
then,
yeah.
Right?
I guess so. I'm at this time.
Unless you want it in this week's show.
I don't care.
This particular one we're recording.
Last week.
Well, then we're just spent all that time talking about what they already heard.
But we established it, and it's humorous,
about in the drums,
and it's about our character.
Yeah, because the stuff we talk about in the drums is usually so much more important and relevant.
You know what they better do? You know what they better do? They better have the Ravenclaw common room in the seventh movie. Just telling Warner Brothers right now. I'm not going to stand for it if they don't.
I agree.
Change the paintings in the Gryffindor common room.
Hey, do you know what great announcements we have coming really soon?
I can't hardly imagine.
What do we have? What?
LeakyCon. We've got some fantastic announcements coming soon. And they might just accompany... I'm making this up. I haven't talked with the organizers about this. But I'm thinking they're so good that they might just accompany a price jump. So for registration, so I really think that if you are thinking at all about going to LeakyCon 2009, you should get on it. Because not only do we have great announcements about our keynotes, which were, God, we're... You know what? Can I do one now? Can I just announce one now?
Do it.
Okay. It's not the one you think, Sue.
Oh, okay.
What? I heard Sue getting all excited. We're gonna start here. We're gonna have a very special keynote with John and Hank Green.
Yay! Awesome.
Nice.
So that's gonna be. We're putting together some. You have to get a ticket to it. You have to pay a little bit of extra money because this is how we feed people and how we ensure a charitable donation. And also, when you're a keynote, just. It's necessary, trust me. We hate, we know money's tight for everybody, but we're trying to keep it lower for the Nerdfighter community because they know that they're younger. But it's going to be so much fun. They're putting together a speech / song / the kind of thing that Hank and John Green are so fantastic at doing, and we cannot wait.
That is going to be fun.
As a matter of fact, I got all worried because I was giving a tentative time for my Harry History thing at LeakyCon, and I was like, but this might be at the same time as our keynote, and I have to go to the keynote. I got all mad.
Yeah. Well, I would hope you'd be able to put a little poll on that one, Melly, and say, look, I'm going to be here.
Listen, I got no pull. I have no pull whatsoever. I don't run this thing. MJ and Stephanie are the goddesses of this conference, and I will go where they point me. But seriously, guys, if you're thinking about getting a registration, I would jump on it because that will not be the last of our awesome announcements. And I'm thinking a couple more keynote announcements and some other announcements that might send the fandom
in a tizzy.
Crazy.
Stephanie Meyer related?
No,
it's not. It's author related, but it's not. Nobody should be under the mistaken impression that Joe Rowling is coming to this conference. Let's put that out there.
Yeah.
I know that the rumor goes around now and then.
Oh.
Yeah.
Should I stop spreading
it? But it's something almost.
Is her body double coming?
Yes.
For hugs? Pictures?
Yes.
Yes.
That'd be so weird to hire a J.K. Rowling lookalike for pictures that are. So creepy. Sorry.
Seriously. Cardboard cutout things, how to get it.
We should have one. That'd be hilarious. Cardboard cutout of Joe.
No,
I would laugh so hard.
I'd love a lookalike, because then it could be like a Santa Claus thing, where she could be out there and everybody can line up and it's sat on her
That's
lap.
Terrible.
And,
that is terrible.
I love you.
No, seriously, we're so grateful to Hank and John, who are moving their crazy schedules around to make sure to be at this conference because they love the Harry Potter community, and it's going to be something really special and something that you haven't seen from them before. So that is your first keynote announcement. There are more to follow.
And they're squeeful. Let's just say it. They're just squeeful.
They are
squeeful. That's all I'm saying.
LeakyCon.com for all the information and your registration link. I would do it.
Excited.
Everybody's quiet. Yeah. Now what?
I don't want to laugh, so I just bite my tongue. I'm literally just sitting here.
Yeah.
So close. It's weird.
It is. It's like 2 months away. Oh my god.
That's right. It is.
Yes.
By the time it's out, it will be out. It will be 2 months. Wow.
Yes.
Ooh. Awesome.
Oh. Okay. I'm gonna announce this now because
Okay.
Sooner or later, Sue's going to ask me to announce it. May 3rd, I'm going to be in San Francisco doing a Harry History talk. All the information is on harryhistory.com. I'm going to be doing my first appearance.
You're going to be in California?
I'm really excited. I am going to be in California, which means that you got to come up from L.A., even though it's like forever away.
What day of the week is that?
Huh?
What day of the week is that?
May 3rd, I think it's a Saturday.
We'll drive up for the day.
That'd be so cool.
I've never been to
And I'm actually show. like I'm a keynote. I've never been a keynote. I've been on a keynote panel. I've never been a keynote something before. This is crazy. So
awesome.
I'm excited. Get to talk to people about the books. That always makes me happy.
John.
John, are you there?
He's gone. He's been kidnapped by the Nargles. Nargles.
I don't think he is. Where did he go?
Jonathan Nahui, where did you go?
I've been talking at you and I didn't realize my mute button was hit.
Oh, what
did
you get when you mute? Saying?
Excuses. Just admit you were doing something else.
No. You were talking about Frankie said he's going to go up on Saturday. I'm all like, well, if Frankie's going, then I might have to go.
Come be in the audience and so I don't, have a heart attack and fall over from being the first, doing my first ever
comedy. I would just lead the rabble rousers to be disruptive and all that.
I'll be like
you
one
know,
of my
you,
students.
You talk big, but I'll have everybody know something about John Noe. When it is, comes down to that time and I'm nervous as like, a cat near water, he is very, very, a very, very good friend in those instances. So you can talk big all you want, mister.
You're as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs?
Yes.
Nice.
I got that from Rogue, from an episode of X-Men back when I was in sixth grade, and I remember it.
It had to do with cats.
I guess that's why I remembered it. That's funny.
That's a very good point.
I was like, I remember it, but like you were obsessed with cats as a child. I'm like, shut up.
Yes.
Cat.
You licked her eyeball.
No, don't lick
my eye
again.
Oh. I've been loving doing like these on my vlog day. I do these live shows at night where we talk about books, right? And because there's nobody else physically in my apartment, Muchka isn't like on edge. She doesn't want to get anybody. She's very like my Muchka, and it's like a trick. That's the only time other people can see Muchka like naturally, because she doesn't know they're there. She doesn't know they're watching her. So I always show Muchka at these things, and everybody's like, but she's so calm and so nice and so lovely. She's nothing like what John says. And I was like, see.
Well,
yeah, you probably drugged her.
It's because she's by herself.
All drugged out.
She's by herself. She's with me.
Yeah, and high.
No, she's good. She's a good kitty.
I saw Bella on this week's vlog.
I know. Well, she's not being a good kitty right now. She wants to go outside because it's finally spring,
she's so cute.
Sort of. Call it, but she's not
she's
an
so
outdoor
cute,
cat,
too.
So she's a problem.
No, but she's very sedate. She's very like meow.
She talks like she's chatty. Like me, I'm chatty.
Which was only chatty when she knows that food is coming.
Frankie, do you have a new cat for your new place yet?
No, we have a puppy.
Oh.
And that was very cute, too. John, you need an animal.
I know. I'm very neglected. I mean, I do live with Andrew Sims.
I guess that's it, then.
He's enough of an obnoxious animal. Not nearly as cute.
I'm lucky because I have, like, a pet, but I don't have to take care of it because that's my roommate's pet.
Oh, that's...
I'm enjoying... Because I grew up with pets, so I've enjoyed these last couple, 3 to 4 years of not having a pet because... There's a lot of freedom in it, but when I settle down more, I'm going to get a pet because I just haven't.
Yeah, you're pretty obnoxious.
Well, I'm just not home a lot, and so it's not fair to me.
Yeah. All right. Well, shall we get going, kids? Is it about that time?
Yeah,
I think it is.
All right, boys and gals, until next time, keep twiddling those dials.
The next password will be Italia!
Keep the faith.
Gulache.
Not noche.
We missed it.
Strawberry is free.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great Scott, no wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when one's having fun.
This week's podcast was produced by the Podcast Trio and Steve Bonnet. Thanks, as always, to our awesome transcription elves for transcribing this and all our other episodes on podcast.com. For more information about the show and how to contact us and be a part of future episodes, visit Pottercast.com.
You know, my mom loves Muchka, but not enough to miss the trip. Yeah. Could you see Muchka walking around the Coliseum?
Oh, God!
I guess
I could see them putting her in the Coliseum and then putting
right,
random people.
To be like the final challenge, the final challenge for the last gladiator before freedom, it's Muchka.
Yes.
Yeah, after the tiger and the
all
lion,
the gladiators are
Muchka.
Terrified.
Yeah, Muchka.
Because
the gladiator goes running out the other way.
Do not let the size deceive you.